Thank you so much, praise team. And by the way, isn't that a good message right there? That we just got to rest and abide in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to make a way. Thank you so much, Rosemary. Appreciate you and the team, Lord, just for leading us that way. We're going to open with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, powerfully, Lord, as we get ready to come to your table, Lord, and just celebrate the fact that as your children, Father, you have given us forgiveness of our sins and you have given us a home in heaven. Father, as we deal with just a few things, Lord, about heaven this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to really understand and to really just get a grasp, dear God, on what you are doing, Lord, right in our midst. Father, I just pray that you would take away all the distractions and help us, dear God, just to honor you, Lord, as we open up your word. I pray, dear God, that your spirit would not leave us the same, but, Lord, that you would change our very lives today. And I pray, dear God, that you would just increase our hope. Lord, we are all going the way of all the earth, as David said. Lord, we're all going to die. We're all going to leave this place. But we praise you, dear God, that we have a present home in heaven now. And, Lord, we have even a greater future home in the new heaven and the new earth. And, Lord, we ask that you just give us clarity as we begin to introduce that idea now. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So take out your Bibles. We're going to continue our series, by the way. I hope heaven is on your mind. And, by the way, some of the books, as Jonathan mentioned, are in the back. And they're there, and the one's on sale today. It's only $5, 1 minute after you die. And I want to just take us to our thought this morning, which we'll flesh out in the weeks to come some more, is, you know what? It just gets better and better. And I want you to stop and think about this for a second today. Think about heaven and the new heaven and the new earth. Have you ever gone somewhere and had your room upgraded? Anybody ever get that? Like, you're already at, like, this place you want to be at. It's really nice. It's really awesome. You didn't want to really pay up to get the greater room, but somehow you got it anyway. And that's what we want to talk about. By the way, I want you to think about that illustration. Remember that as we think about there is a present heaven that is sinless and awesome, but there is a new heaven and new earth that'll even give us greater opportunity. And y'all remember that verse in the book of Philippians? The Apostle Paul said these words. He said, as Paul prayed about, this was his benediction to his prayer. He said, "Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think." And that's how we want to think about heaven this morning. So we're going to jump right on in. We're going to skip right over that slide and just talk about that. The eternal truth I want you guys to get in your mind is kind of that idea, which is believers in Christ. Like, if anybody died today, and by the way, you know, Deacon James, he passed into heaven this morning, and that's the key thing. But he passed into heaven this morning. He left this earth, and he woke up in heaven momentarily later, right? And the idea says is believers in Christ ascend to the present heaven the moment they die on earth, but they look forward to even better eternal things in God's new and redeemed earth and heaven. So amazing. And I'm just going to skip by this. By the way, I love that picture. And just kind of, I hope heaven's beginning to capture your imagination. I hope it is. We're gonna talk about that. I want to take just a brief minute to review a couple concepts. Pastor Ansu and I, each week as we kind of, you know, exchange the baton, who's preaching. The next week, we'll kind of go back and try to answer maybe some of the questions that we raised as we tried to answer other questions. So I want to just do a couple things this morning. And here's the first one. Pastor Ansu mentioned this last week. Is death a friend or a foe? In our heart, is death a friend or a foe? It's a foe, right? But I want you to understand that death is, and Pastor Anson said this last week, is a gift from God. Here's why. I want you guys to get a hold of this passage. Genesis chapter 3, it says, "Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil, and now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." I want you guys to get this in your mind.
So imagine that Adam and Eve, right, not only did they take the fruit, right, of what? The tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they had the wisdom now to discern good from evil, but they also had the free will to do what they wanted to do. And that's when sin entered the world. That's when man began to die physically, and they died, past tense, spiritually. Now imagine that they were to go to the tree of life and partake of the tree of life. They would be eternally caught in sin without redemption. That's the point. That's why death is our foe humanly, but death is our friend spiritually. It's a gift from God that opened up the door to salvation, that we as sinful man could be redeemed by God. And we praise God for his power, his control over everything. God is above everything. And God, by the way, did God know Adam and Eve were going to take the fruit? Absolutely. It's like you guys know this. How many folks have children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, right? Neighbor kids, right? Right? They're bad, right? Right? Aren't they, right? They are, right? They're kind of bad to the core, right? And free will gives us that ability to choose. I know I'm not supposed to do it, and because you tell me don't do it, I even want it more, right? You understand? And that's what happened with Adam and Eve. So I want to say this, and just get this in your mind. And look what it says, so God drove out the man, and he placed cherubim. And by the way, those are angelic beings that protect the holiness of God. So he placed the cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. And you know what? God doesn't give us restrictions because he's mean and he wants to hold things back. God gives us restrictions because he knows what's ultimately good for us. And praise God, God did that. So death allows the control of sin to be broken and humanity to be redeemed. But I'll throw this out. We read it in the New Testament. You know, death has a sting, doesn't it? But praise God that Jesus Christ took away the sting. It's not a permanent sting. It's just for a little while. So next thing I want to just mention real fast with you guys this afternoon is this idea of sleep. How many folks ever heard this concept that's called soul sleep? Anybody ever heard that before? People have this idea. Maybe only a few people did, right? But here's the idea. Some theologians, and I believe they're not right in their thinking, would propose that until the body is resurrected, when Jesus comes back from the ground, that our soul goes to sleep, right? That kind of flies in the face, that's what I want to share with you guys, some very clear scriptures, because like when we read about them, I'm going to share them with you right now. Look at this first one. Remember the thieves on the cross, or the criminals, I should say, on the cross next to Jesus? And the one of them was just railing at Jesus. And then the other one said this. He rebuked him. He said, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Jesus was the only victim on the cross who didn't have any sin or didn't do any wrong. The thief and maybe the murderer or whatever he was, they both were very guilty and they knew. Right? And he says that. He says, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then look what he said to Jesus. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I want to ask you this question. Work with me. Think this through with me. Was he thinking that when Jesus came into his kingdom thousands of years later? He was thinking the moment that Jesus closed his eyes on this earth, he was going to be in the kingdom. And by the way, he was, right? And notice what Jesus said to him. He said, and you, different translations use the word truly, truly, or assuredly is the same idea. Like, this is true. He said, surely I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Right? Today. So praise God. You know, when our brothers and our sisters and our parents and all those people close their eyes on this side of heaven, they open them up right away on the other side. Right? That's the name of the game. That's what he's saying here. And by the way, the Apostle Paul kind of clarified that point. Because by the way, and I'll throw this out to you, would it be a great comfort? It would be of some comfort to know I'm going to be resurrected thousands of years later, but it is a great comfort to know that I'm going to see God face to face in the next second, right? And that's what Paul, Apostle Paul said this. He said, for we walk by faith, not sight. And we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So when we die, by the way, what happens, right? Our soul and our spirit sort of detach from the body and they go into this place called paradise, the present heaven, right? And they're going to stay there until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back on earth. And then God's going to do some things. We're going to rule and reign with him. There's going to be the, you know, the rapture of the saints. There's going to be a tribulation period. There's going to be a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. And then God's going to just clean it all up once and for all. And we will enjoy the new heaven and new earth. And praise God, I could use a little sleep. Anybody could use a little sleep? But praise God, my soul's not sleeping for 2,000 years. Because you guys know how I'm wired. I'd go crazy. Right? And by the way, and God didn't do it just for crazy Pastor Gary. God did it for all of us that we'd have the comfort of knowing when we close our eyes on this side, we open them on the other side, and we enjoy the pleasures of the present heaven. Amen? So that's something to get a hold of and sort of rejoice in today, by the way, as we praise God this morning on a lot of different things. So I want you guys to understand that. And I just want to explain one thing, and we're going to segue to communion in just a minute, but here's the thing I want you guys to get a hold of. What is our soul? You know, we talk about that. You know, we say, oh, those old souls. Or we say, you know, my soul is just hurting. You know, we might say that phrase. But what is a soul? I want you guys to get a hold of this, right? And I want you to go all the way back to the book of Genesis and kind of the author of Genesis, who believes Moses, lays the foundation. Look what he says. He says, when the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And by the way, in the New King James, it translates it living being. And I want you guys to get a hold of this. What does that mean? And by the way, the Hebrew word, just kind of interesting, this is a word called nephesh. So anytime being or soul is used, that's kind of the word typically. The Greek word is the word psuche for soul. And again, it's used all over the New Testament. But what does that mean? And that's what I want you guys to understand. Here's the soul defined, right? The soul is the living, conscious, immaterial, not this fleshy thing here, immaterial and eternal part of our being. You know, and I want to throw this out. I'm not trying to be graphic or gory, but I want you guys to think about this. Anybody ever gone to a funeral? And I can say this, too many, right? Too many, right? And when you see that body lying there, if you have an open casket, no matter how good the mortician was or the funeral director at making them look like who they were, they are so not alive and the same person. And you know why? Because their soul and spirit has separated from that body the second they breathe their last, and that soul and spirit has gone on to the present heaven, if they're believers, or to the present Hades, if they're not, right? But that soul and spirit is no longer there, right? And I just want to say this to you guys, that we've all seen death. Amen. It doesn't seem like there's just no similarity to who that person was, although we recognize their earth suit, you know, their vibrancy, their character, their personality, it's just not there. And I want us to kind of get a hold of that, right? So that living, conscious, immaterial, and eternal part of our being that makes us man and was breathed into us by God at creation. I'm going to throw this out. And our soul and spirit are created in the image of God. Right? And it is our unique identity. I want you to tell something about that. Our soul and spirit is unique. You know, we think we're unique just because of the way we look. We're not that unique that way. But who we are on the inside makes us quite unique, right? And it's our unique identity, and it defines us. And here's how it defines us. By the way, the image of God, God doesn't have blonde hair and doesn't have a bald spot in the back. Right? God is spirit, right? And God in his just amazingness, right? God loves diversity. That's why God created Caucasian people, black people, all the colors in between. And by the way, we learned this in Vacation Bible School. Remember Jill a few years back? Isn't it cool how God created us? You know, there really isn't nobody. This is white. This isn't white. Right? And there's really nobody here. John has a black jacket. Hold your jacket up, John. This is black. But we all shades of brown. Right? I'm really light brown. And a lot of us are, you know, dark brown and everywhere in between. And God in his amazingness, right, he created us in his image. But his image just isn't our skin. It's who we are, right? He created us with a will, a desire, right? And he gave us intellect. Like, we can understand even difficult things. And he gave us desires, and he gave us emotions, love, joy, peace, sorrow. You know, those things, right? God gave us all those things. And that's what is in the image of God, or the image of the invisible God, as Scripture says. But you know what? Our soul and our spirit has a problem. It must be redeemed. You know what that means? It must be bought back because it's controlled by our sinful desires and our sinful heart, and it's got to be bought back. And its sinfulness got atoned by Jesus at the cross. And now, we don't live it out perfectly in this body. It is purified and it is protected by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? That is an awesome thing. And I want us to kind of get that in our minds. That's our soul. And by the way, that's what's missing when we go to the funeral of a person, soul and spirit. It's either with the Lord or it's waiting for eternal judgment. And we all want A, not B, right? Right? That's our soul. And I want to stop there because today we're going to celebrate the Lord's table. And next week, we're going to talk about this idea, by the way, of redemption. And I want you guys just to understand this one thing with me. And can you take us down, Laureen, to one slide? I just want to tee us up here for a minute. I'm going to take it down. I'm trying to do it myself here. I want to take you to and skip over all the things we're going to talk about. We'll come back to them. I want to take you to the fact that there is a new heaven and a new earth. And I just want to give you one verse, right? It says this. John, who laid on Jesus' breast, right, at the table. He said, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city. By the way, everybody look up for a second. Does Jerusalem today look like a holy city? It has all the religions of the world, all the hatred of the world, all the conflict of the world. See how it needs redemption? All of us need redemption because we might be on one side or the other of that too, right? But he says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Could you imagine sitting next to Jesus? Or having Jesus in the same room, like with us, right? And his Holy Spirit's here. But can you imagine? By the way, I wonder if Jesus would sit on the back row or the front. I'm listening to the other pastor. He's sitting in the middle. So I guess he's going to be in the middle, right? But can just imagine. And what I want to just kind of clarify and leave us with today is, I want you to get this idea. You know what? If we die today, present heaven, and we're going to be there until Jesus comes back and just fixes everything. And then after that, we're going to be on the new heaven and the new earth where even more opportunities abound for those who have their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. A place of what? No more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, and no more death. And we're going to ask our deacons to come right now, and we are going to celebrate the Lord's table. And by the way, if you're here as a believer in Christ, and you're just walking with the Lord, we invite everybody to celebrate with us today. Everybody. If you're not a believer, just kind of watch, because there's a picture that's going to be painted here that will just help us better understand what Jesus did. And we're just waiting for our students to come on in. There's plenty of room for them. And you guys can come on in, and we're going to have them join us. Because you know what's kind of cool, by the way? You can be saved at any age. There's nobody too young, as long as they understand. And there's nobody too old. So we praise God. So they're coming in, and we thank God for them as part of God's family. And I'm going to have a little different flow. I'm going to have Pastor Ansu begin our communion time with us this morning and talk about the bread. And then I'm going to come up and talk about the cup.
Amen. As we prepared our hearts to partake of the Lord's table, we want to search our hearts and know that we are ready to partake of it. Amen? Amen. And we're going to ask Rosemary to just play some music, and we just kind of put our hearts and our mind and just focus on the cross and what Christ did for us. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Amen? Amen. He broke his body on the cross for our sake. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we're going to ask Moses to pray for the bride.
Let us pray. Our great and heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the opportunity as Christians to gather before your presence, dear Lord, to partake in the bread who represents your body. Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise for what you did on the cross for us. And as we partake of this bread, dear Lord, that will serve as nourishment to our bodies, that will strengthen us, that will heal us, and give us, Heavenly Father, the courage to go on as Christians, as we remember you every time. We thank you. And dear God, we love you because you loved us first. So as we come to eat this food, we remember you for your sacrifice that was on the cross for us. We just give you the glory and the honor. And we thank you. Blessed be your name forever and ever. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us eat together. Amen. Pastor Gary, come up.
Thank you, Pastor Ansu. And I just want to take us over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. And it says that as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And we just did that. Just have to think about that. What a strange statement, isn't it? But he said, you know what? To really be saved and have eternal life, we have to take the bodily sacrifice of Jesus for ourselves. And we have to consume it. And just rest and trust in what Jesus did. Then notice what he said next. He said, then he took the cup, and we have it in our hand, he said, and he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." And he said, you know what? I want you to drink that cup that symbolizes my blood that was poured out for you, that paid the penalty for all of eternity for our sins. And then listen to what Jesus said. You know, we got heaven on our mind, but when Jesus did this, he did too. And listen to the words he said. He said, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on." And look what he says next. "Until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Isn't that amazing? Jesus said, you know, I'm not even going to partake of this anymore. It's such a powerful symbol. I'm not going to partake of it anymore in this life until I partake it with all of you when you get to my kingdom. And that kingdom is what? That present heaven and that new heaven and new earth. And I wonder, by the way, there's a celebration that we'll have in heaven. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. It'll be the ultimate communion that will surpass any Lord's table we have ever seen on this earth. And we will, at that point, partake of those elements and knowingly praise God and thank him, not for what we think we're going to experience, but what we are currently experiencing that day and forevermore. And you know, as brothers and sisters of Christ, that's why we do the Lord's table, to remind us this life is short, but eternity is long. And Jesus paid it all so that eternity can be a place of blessing and joy and celebration and thanksgiving forevermore. And I like this song. I had kind of put it in the part of the message I skipped over. You know, we all love Amazing Grace, right? They sing Amazing Grace on Bourbon Street, Broad Street, and at the Baptist Church, right? But I love the verse 5 is the one, right? It says, when we've been there 10,000 years, right? Shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. By the way, take a minute. Would y'all wrap your minds around that for a second? I can't think of 10,000 minutes or 10,000 hours, let alone 10,000 years, right? That's what Jesus purchased for us. And today, you know what? We're going to partake of the fruit of the vine, the grape juice or the wine. And we're going to partake of it right after Mr. Boyer prays. And here's the good thing, by the way, Jason, you're not alone today, right? We praise God that God has it all figured out. Right. Would you pray for us, my brother?
Yes. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son to die for us, to shed his blood, to give his body for us. And we just pray that you'll bless this time of communion. And as we remember the awesome punishment that you took for us, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. By the way, some of those great old hymns, right, they really put the truth out there, don't they? So let's partake together. And we're going to close in a moment, but I would be remiss. You know, if you're not a believer or not quite sure, the stakes of eternity are so high. None of us want to be on the other side. We want to be on the heavenly, eternal side. And I just want to challenge you. Does anybody here, you're not quite sure, would you grab us at the door? Come forward as we sing a couple stanzas of a song. Reach out to your neighbor and just say, man, I want that confidence in my eternity. Amen? Amen. We're going to have our praise team come, and they're going to lead us in a closing song. Thank you. So we're going to understand it better by and by, for sure, right? But we can understand it enough, and we can rejoice and celebrate it today. And again, I leave you with this thought. If there's anybody here that can't rejoice in the death and the burial of resurrection because they don't understand or they don't know, please make it today. The Bible says this, today is the day of salvation. We don't know. Our life is like a vapor, James says. We don't know when our day will be that we'll leave this planet. But let's leave with Jesus. We're going to close with prayer. We're going to have our Bible school meeting member back in our gym. If there's anybody with any need, salvation, something going on, need prayer, need help, please grab us. That's why we're here. And we're going to try to help you the best we can in God's power and in God's name. So Pastor Anson is going to close out with a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in you, Lord. And as we look forward, Lord, to that beautiful home, that place that you have prepared for us, may our hearts be filled with joy and peace, knowing that you are still in control. We thank you, Lord, as we go this week. May you guide our hearts, and that we will continue to seek you each moment, each second that we live, Lord. We thank you. Guide us. Bring us back next week, Lord, and that we will come and just fellowship and learn more of your word and that home that you have prepared for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.